Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. With me on the show this week is Emily Duncan. This is her second appearance on the show. Emily is from Australia. You may remember her. She is a sexologist. She's a podcast host. She is studying to be a sex therapist. This episode is entirely dedicated to ass, to having anal sex, to ass play, and everything that comes with it. Best toys to use, best practices, everything you'd want to know, down to the best lubes. At the end of the interview, we talk about double penetration, and she gives some tips for that. Are you someone who takes a couple days and does the prep to have anal sex, or are you more of a spontaneous person? We cover it all, and I do mean all, in this all-ass episode. So without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with Emily Duncan.
This week's conversation.
Emily Duncan, welcome back to Sex Party. It's been a long time. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm super excited to be back. I can't even, when was the last recording? It would have been like 18 months ago, probably.
Yeah, I think it's like a year and a half. Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so it's been a hot minute.
It has been a hot minute. What is, what's been going on with you? I mean, I feel like we should probably catch them up. Let's say that they didn't see the last time. They didn't see the last recording. They missed the episode. Could you talk a little bit about who you are and what you do and your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a sexologist. So I'm based in Australia near Melbourne. So I have my own online practice, and then I'm also about to start working for a practice in Sydney with the Pleasure Centre. So basically that's just one-on-one or sessions with a partner or partners, talking all things sex, any sex-related issues. And then with the podcast, it's just a podcast all about sex, relationships, mental health. So it's really similar to yours, Dustin. We just talk about sex and have fun doing it. So I've been doing that for 3 years now. The podcast had the sexology clinic for a year. And I'm also decided to torture myself and go back to uni. So now I'm doing my master's of counseling. So once that's done, I'll be a sex therapist, which will be a little bit of a cooler title than sexologist.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, congratulations on the longevity of the show. I mean, 3 years in the podcast world is like 10 years in the real world. So congratulations there.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, I mean, your episode of mine the last time you were here was huge. I mean, people were really excited. People watched and listened, you know, to the high hell, which is great. And I think, you know, you're really interesting because I think you have this sort of, I don't know, I mean, kind of like this hunger for more knowledge around sex, and then to take that knowledge and like spread it. Because you could tell in that first episode we did together that it meant a lot to you. I mean, where do you think that even comes from? Like what, and we touched on it a little bit the first time, but again, if we're just bringing these noobs up to speed, right? Where does the desire to spread sexual knowledge and like the right sexual knowledge like around to everybody?
Yeah. So I guess the hunger for me came from my own personal experience. I feel like most people in the sexology field that are working as like practitioners, there's a story. Like, I don't feel like it's ever just a normal, like, oh, you know, the course counselor told me that this was an option. Go be a doctor. They're not mentioning this. This is a career that's not even on their radar. So for me, obviously, I talked last time how I had contracted chlamydia, and that made me start researching. And then I feel like I just became really like hypervigilant with STIs, not practicing safe sex. I was still a reckless like teenager, but I was like so scared of like contracting another STI that I was like always like checking and getting tests and thinking that like a cold meant I, you know, my immune system was down. So that means I was going to contract HSV or something. Like I was just so like over the top with it, which meant I did so much research. And from that, being a bit of like a hypochondriac with sex, I guess, I then like, you know, found this sexology space and that there were sex therapists, sexologists. And I was like, I need to do this. And I've also kind of been somebody that's like pushed the boundaries a bit and wanted to do something different. And like anyone that was like slut shamed in high school, or anything, I was like, fuck that. Like, let's not do that. I'm not a part of that. My mom was also super open and sex positive. So it kind of just like all came together. And then I was like, yes, this is what I need to do. And like, I'm so grateful it happened because otherwise I'd be so lost right now. Like I couldn't even imagine where I would be in my life if I didn't find this.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And I think you touched on a lot of things that, you know, I feel like I could jump into any of those that you said, but the one that like really stuck out to me and coming from you, it's going to mean a lot more because you're a professional. You've been doing this a long time and you just talked about how you lived it. But let's say somebody is, really sexually active. Like they're sexually active, you know, with multiple partners. I mean, what is the optimal? Because you can get, you're right. You can get carried away. You can like get lost in the Google fucking, looking at, the fucking genital wart pictures and fucking, whatever, all of that. You can become paranoid very quickly. You can go see the doctor, wait 2 weeks and they're like, no, that's an ingrown hair. Right. So what do you think is like the optimal, perfect sort of routine to get, you know, checked and tested and then sort of put it out of your mind? Is it like, are you STI testing like from home, like once a month, twice a month? I mean, what do you, as a professional, what do you recommend?
Yeah. So it really, I guess, depends on how much sex you're having and who you're having sex with. Some people recommend getting tested after every new partner. Sometimes that's just not feasible. Like if you're a sex worker and you've got 10 new partners in the day, that's not happening. Or if, you know, you are just somebody in your 20s or any age and you just are having lots of casual sex. Like there's times in my life, like if I was getting tested after every partner, the doctor would be like, what are you doing here? Like, every week, like you know,
you were just here yesterday. What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? So really, I would say every 3 to 6 months, depending on like how many like sexual partners you're having. The reason I say that is for tests like chlamydia, gonorrhea, at least in Australia, I imagine it'd be pretty similar in America. It takes 2 weeks for the actual like the STI to come up on a test and show if it's going to be positive or negative. And then with other STIs like syphilis and HIV, it takes up to 3 months. So it's really that probably that 3 month mark. And then if you're not really having that many sexual partners or new ones, the 6 month mark. And then if you've been in like in a really long term relationship, I still recommend getting tested every year because things might come up that just didn't before. Maybe a test was inaccurate and you know, maybe like, we don't want to say that your partner's ever like gone elsewhere, but you just never know. And I think it's just an important test just to know for your own knowledge. So, generally speaking, anywhere from 3 months to 12 months, depending on how sexually active you are.
No, I think that's great. So optimally, they're testing like 4 times a year then, like every 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you get symptoms. No, like if you have sex with somebody and then all of a sudden it's like burning as hell, go get tested.
Right. If things are swelling, if you're getting random headaches, like then it's probably time to just do an extra one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love what you said about, you know, even if you're in a relationship, because sometimes, yeah, weird shit does happen and like people are just carriers for stuff and then they don't present symptoms and then boom, all of a sudden someone's got something. Like that happens more often than not. So I think that's really, really, you know, smart to do that once a year at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I even got tested once, came back positive for chlamydia, and then my partner got tested and they came back negative. And I was like, well, that, like, we've been together for 6 months. We've both already had it from each other. So one of our test results is wrong. Like, so that's why I don't always necessarily rely on them either. Like, it's important to just keep that regular, like, check.
Yeah, I mean, I think people just vastly underestimate the idea that, like, testing is a form of self-care, because not only does it give you that that physical, you know, you know, right? Like, whatever, but it gives you that peace of mind, or you don't have to fucking worry about it all the time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's really, really important. Okay. And also too, like, you know, you being a professional, we sort of talked a little bit before we recorded this. What are we going to talk about? Right. You suggested some topics, right? Cause I love when my guests bring things up. And one of the things you brought up, which I think is like fascinating, and we've never done, and by we, I mean, I've never really done a dedicated, episode about ass play, right? About anal, about having anal sex, having ass play, right? You said arse play because you're from Australia, so that's really fun.
Yeah, arse play.
Okay, so let's say, because everybody sort of fantasizes about having some form of ass play, right? Some form of anal, and a lot of people, I mean, it can be very scary, especially if you're the receiver, right? Where do we begin? I mean, you're the expert. Walk us through this. Like, where are like the starting points? Are we buying toys first? Are we having a conversation? Are you giving a gift that's like a butt plug or something? I mean, where do we start?
Yeah. So I always recommend with ass play, I guess first, probably trying to get a mental picture of like what you're comfortable with. You might not know till you try it, but is that like only external? Are we doing internal penetration, toys, fingers, tongue, penis? What are we doing? So sometimes you won't know till you do it, but like trying to get a mental idea of like, all right, where do I want to start? But I always recommend starting with yourself, especially when it comes to something like anal. You have two sphincters, one, the first one you've got control over, so you can contract that one, but there's one that's further internal that you can't actually control. And the only way that that's going to relax is if you're relaxed. And if you're trying this out for the first time with a partner, whether that's somebody that you've just met or somebody you've known for 5 years, you're probably not going to feel completely relaxed and feel a bit tense, especially if they're the one that's kind of, you know, taking control of how fast it's going or the depth or whatever. So I always recommend trying it with yourself first, because you'll find that you'll just be able to relax into it a lot more. You're not going to be concerned about shit getting everywhere. Or if you are, you're not going to be concerned about somebody else seeing it, smelling it, whatever. And you can start either with a hand or like finger, if that's too daunting for you, putting a glove on, if that's still like, no, using something like a toy. So any toys when you're doing ass play, you really want something with a big base so that you do not lose it up your ass. I have been there and it is terrifying. And I can get into that later, because there's some like ass play products that you think would be safe, but they're not. So, but you learn that from trial and error. But yeah, I recommend, it's what I did. I recommend it with my clients, is starting with yourself first, because you're just going to feel more comfortable, and you're going to get an idea of where your boundaries are, how fast you want to go with it, how much time you need to warm up. Like, you need to turn yourself on first, and then start with touching it, you know, externally around your anus. Then light pressure on it, maybe like tapping, then pushing in just slightly, and just really working your way up. Especially if it's your first few times, you don't want to go too hard, too fast. You can end up with tears, anal fissures, and sometimes that can take forever to heal, especially if you do some proper damage, because you still have to pass stool. So sometimes it just keeps tearing it. So it's really, really important that you go slow with that. But yeah, as I said, as to start, always recommend by yourself, or if you are doing it with a partner, just a whole lot of communication, or maybe like you're taking control of it. Let's say they're putting their penis inside you, but they're not moving. You're like in doggy position or something, and you're moving onto them so that you're still in control of actually what's happening. And you'll find it'll just work a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are great sort of beginner from the start tips, right? And I think here at the beginning, we're adults, right? Let's be honest, like you're going inside of an asshole. Like there's a good chance that you, whether it's your finger going into your own asshole or you have a penis that's going into someone else's asshole, there's a good chance that when you pull the said finger or penis out, that there's going to be shit everywhere. And that's just something that you have to get over. And like, again, let's be adults about it, right? This is I guess this is a fucking podcast for adults. It's Sex Party, so I hope so. And I think that's like really important to like not just be a jackass about. I think some people who are more immature, less mature, are going to make a big deal about that kind of thing. But then you do have people like in porn, and more LGBTQ people that are more like all about like the prep, right? So I think that's an important step, because you can prep with like what you eat, you can prep with like what you drink. Like, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because I feel like there's two camps where it's like, whatever happens, like we'll put a towel down, I'm good to go. And then there's people like, no, if we're going to do a Wednesday, I'm going to start prepping Sunday. So how do you feel about those two things?
Yeah, so it really depends on personal preference, how much time you have, and if there's spontaneity around it, or if you're like really organized, right, scheduled in, like you said, Wednesday, we're doing anal. So if it is like scheduled in, you know when you're doing it, you know, you're mentally preparing and you want to physically prepare, then absolutely you can do that. Some people are like extreme with it. They won't eat for like the 24 hours before it or the 12 hours before it, or they have like a really strict diet routine. Honestly, like generally what I recommend is just like, if you really want to prep, but you know, not go to the extremes, it's just doing something like douching, where you get like an anal douche, you fill it up with water, make sure it's full to the top so there's not like air in there. Otherwise, you'll find if you put it in and like squeezing it, you'll get air, and then you'll feel like really like gassy almost, and like bloated and gross. And then you're like, well, I don't want to do this anymore because now I feel gross. But I recommend, you know, doing that maybe a couple hours now or before, so you can get a feel of like how it's feeling. And just doing that till the water goes clean. And once that's clean, you're generally good to go. Also, there's like, I think it's 7 inches until, I can't remember the exact terminology of what it's called, but it's kind of like where the stool's stored before it comes into your rectum to pass. And that's 7 inches in. So unless you're working with toys or penises, whatever, that are over 7 inches, you're not really going to hit that area. So you don't need to do like a really deep clean. Mm-hmm. If you're working with things that are less than that, you just really need to clean just that first section, which you can do easily with like a douche or something. And just, yeah, till the water goes clear, and then you're normally good to go. And that's just really for just like, I would call that like everyday ass play. If you're looking for the more extremes, or you're really pedantic about wanting it to be absolutely spotless, then you might want to look at, you know, potentially changing your diet for that 12 hours before anything. But I normally recommend just steering clear for that. Like, I feel like it can potentially turn into maybe like toxic relationships with like food and things like that, or like your body, like, and it's just, we don't want to go down that path. And often the people who are doing that are professionals, like, you know, porn stars.
Well, first of all, I love the word pedantic. That's awesome. It's the first time it's been used on this program, as far as I know. Love that word. Of course you would drop that. You have an amazing, well, and partially it's because you're smart, but I think the other part of it is because you're Australian. But I mean, come on, pedantic. I mean, what a great word. So I appreciate the usage of that word.
I'm sure I have a whole heap of words.
Yeah, no, we'll keep them coming. We love that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about professionals, you talk about, you know, porn stars. They do a thing, some of them that I've heard about, like this gummy bear thing, where you can eat as many gummy bears as you want, because that, when that is processed, it becomes clear. And so it doesn't it doesn't look like shit or something like that. So there's like a huge gummy bear kind of a thing in the porn industry, which I think is like,
There you go. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. Like when they go on the 3-day diet after they are, you know, and they're like doing the anal douching, like they just eat nothing but gummy bears because it, you know, it breaks down to like clear, instead of the normal color that you'd get with food waste, right? So there's that. But like, you're right. See, and I sort of fall into the category with you. I get it, right? Like nobody wants like, you know, their own shit all over the place. Nobody wants it on their dick, whatever, but like grow up. Like, you know, like I just feel like when you do start scheduling it and it does become a food thing, like who the fuck, unless you're being paid and well paid, who the fuck wants to eat gummy bears for 4 days?
No, God, no. And that's not sustainable. And like, confession of myself, no. I've literally shat on the floor in front of somebody. I pulled out anal beads and shit fell on the floor. And I didn't even realize they were like in the shower and they looked and they're about to step back and they're like, don't step back and don't freak out, but you might want to clean up the stuff that's on the floor. I was like, what do you mean? I looked and there was literally my shit on the floor. You can't get any more intimate than that. And they still wanted to have sex with me. So it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it doesn't even matter whether or not you're in a relationship, but unless like you're like, you know, I mean, if you're in that intimate place, in that space where you are, you know, experimenting with ass play, with anal beads, with whatever, and like something happens, I mean, of course, who the fuck's gonna get dressed and drive away? I mean, like, that I still feel like that's... I feel like this just the trash would kind of take itself out at that point, you know. Grow up,
yeah, absolutely.
You were already in the shower, so like pro move. There you go.
Well, I wasn't. They were. I was in the in between from pulling it out, cleaning it, shower.
Oh,
so
okay.
I wasn't. I was close, but not quite.
Yeah, you almost made it, but it's all right. But see, that's the thing. You can. You can have those sorts of things happen. And as long as you're with somebody that you trust, you know, enough to put something up your ass in front of, like, you're going to be fine. And so I do fall into that category with you where I do think it is more like sexual to be more spontaneous, you know?
Yeah. And for some people, they'll just straight up be like, no, I can't do ass play spontaneously. But for others who like, you know, enjoy it. And, you know, some days you're just like, this is just, it's happening and this is the way it's going. And I wasn't, you know, physically prepared for this, but like, let's go. Let's see what happens. And like, most of the time it's honestly fine. And I feel like anybody who has done ass play and has done it, you know, more than once or regularly, there's been a shit story. Like, I don't know anybody who actually regularly engages in it and there isn't a shit story and that they don't still continue to do it. Like, I have not heard of anybody getting turned off that much that they're like, oh my God, no. And if you're that like concerned, put a towel down, have some baby wipes on hand. If you're using like even a toy or a penis, put a condom on. Like, there's ways to just make it an easier cleanup. So it doesn't feel as like, oh my God, there's literally shit on the floor like me.
Yeah. Well, and also too, like there are like the douches that I've seen actually advertised on Instagram that are like professional for that, for the ass, for, and it says like, you know, it's of the quality that they use in the porn industry. So it's like, if you want someone to eat whipped cream out of your ass, like use this, anal douche, whatever. Which, I mean, you can just buy one of those and work one of those. How soon before actually having anal sex are they using an anal douche?
Yeah, so it really depends. It depends, like, on your bowel movements and stuff. Like, for some people, it's an hour before. For some, it's a couple hours. For some, it's a bit more. It depends, like, I guess when you've eaten and if you find your bowels move quickly, like, what's going on. It will take some probably trial and error.
Right.
But, yeah, anywhere from probably, like, an hour, some people will probably even half an hour before to make sure it's like, yep, clean, good, ready to go. Like, let's go right away. But yeah, it's kind of dependent on each person. And yeah, it's a bit of like trial and error there. And especially if you're doing it the first time, I recommend just like doing it and not then doing like ass play with somebody, like just testing out and seeing how you actually feel. Cause I know, like, for me, I was like, oh, I feel so bloated and gross. Like, I've done something, something's not right here. And I was like, there was too much air in the actual, like, douche itself. So, like, sure. Just making sure that you kind of play around with it first, too.
Well, okay. And so we've talked about a lot of the prep. We've talked about a lot of the, what I would call like minor drawbacks, right? Let's talk about why the pleasure. Let's talk about why someone would commit to doing anal, right? I mean, there are a lot in a heterosexual dynamic or any dynamic, there are benefits to both, right? So from, you know, we hear about the anal orgasm. Like, is this real? And what are your thoughts on an anal orgasm?
Yeah, so absolutely. So depending on if you have a vulva or penis, so like penis owners, you have your prostate, that gives you a whole heap of pleasure when it comes to ass play. And then for vulva owners, it's also pleasurable too. And it depends like what you're doing. So for some people, they'll want to use like a butt plug and then engage in penetrative sex. So that would be for like a vulva owner, and they'll find that it feels fuller, maybe like tighter. And when they do orgasm, that it feels just more intense because you've just got just this, I don't know, you just fuller, you got more going on, more being stimulated. So when you do orgasm, it's just a more intense orgasm. And then if you are just engaging in ass play and you're a vulva owner, the orgasm might feel different. Still generally it's your pelvic floor contracting when you are orgasming, but it might just feel either, it could be like less intense, more intense, or just like a different sensation. It's like when people orgasm from a clitoral orgasm compared to penetrative sex, like it can feel like there's a difference. So it's going to be unique to each person. Obviously for penis owners as well, they're probably going to find a difference in their orgasm from that compared to if they were just like stroking their penis or something.
Right. I mean, and for the person doing the entry, right, obviously it's usually tighter. It usually has like this sort of suction feeling to it. So there's that sort of, benefit to it as well. But like all in all, it just feels like the actual idea of it is like raunchy and horny and sort of more primal and erotic, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. Like what, is that your experience that when you're engaging in it, you just feel more like animalistic and like raw about it?
Yeah, well, it's really taboo. Like ass play is like a taboo topic. So it feels like something you shouldn't do. And, you know, we're not like at, you know, sex ed in school being like, oh, let's learn about ass play. It's something that you're taught, like it's somewhere you shouldn't go. It's dirty. It's, you know, it's got all of these, I guess, negative connotations often attached to it, which makes people want to do it. It's like when you're told, don't touch that, you want to do it. So when you are doing it, maybe there is a bit of like shame or disgust or these negative feelings attached to it that intensify the whole experience. Or maybe, yeah, like it's just that that feeling of I shouldn't be doing this and therefore when you're doing it, it adds to that adrenaline and those feelings. Also, if you're like scared of, you know, shit happening or something, then maybe as long as the fear doesn't, you know, put on your brakes, sometimes for some people that like, you know, unknown gets them extra excited and aroused and just heightened. But yeah, I feel like because it's one of those things that you're told you shouldn't really do, it makes people want to do it more. Also because we're not necessarily, unless you're like having gay sex and that's something you engage in all the time, which even for like gay men having sex, it isn't often something they're engaging in all the time. But let's say we're looking at like a heterosexual couple, you're always having you're having penetrative sex and you're always having vaginal penetrative sex. It feels like a treat. If that makes sense. Like it's like, oh, let's do anal this time. It feels like something special. Unless you're doing it every single time, it just feels like, you know, that special treat that you get on your birthday.
Oh my God. I can't believe you said that. Well, okay. You don't have to wait till your birthday to do it, but I get.
No, you don't have to. Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. Okay. So yeah, I mean, on that sort of raw primal thing, it's like, you know, for the, for me, it's like, oh my God, I'm fucking her in the ass, right? And for them, it's like, because, yeah. you know, I would feel like there's a power to it. There's a power transfer, like, take that, or I feel powerful, whatever, right? And then for them, it's like, oh my God, I'm getting fucked in the ass. Like, it's like this power transfer back and forth, I feel. Do you agree with that?
No, absolutely, I agree with that. And I think that comes into the, like, also that, like, they shouldn't be doing it thing as well. Like, it comes into that power transfer of, like, somebody's doing it to you and then, oh my God, I'm having this done. And, like, yeah, it 100% can feel like that. I also just had a thought pop into my mind and it's just left me on that. It might come back to me. I've forgotten it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. Well, we were talking about, you said if it's a tree on your birthday. We talked about the power transfer. So I think, you know, that is part of the high, I think, of anal sex. It's like, you're sort of like giving this power back and forth. It is this dom sub kind of a moment, right? And it's heightened because things are tighter. It is taboo. It is a power thing. So it all sort of combines, I think. And generally, I mean, you know, for me, right, I feel like it does make not every orgasm more grandiose and bigger, but usually it is like a harder orgasm too.
Yeah, definitely. Also, the thought come back. I was thinking about pain. I feel like, especially for vulva owners, you're told that anal sex is going to be really painful. And like, obviously, like, lube and everything, but I feel like you're constantly told it's going to be painful. And then it's like, well, how is this going to be pleasurable? Often the first few times people engage in it is when they're younger, not necessarily doing it correctly or taking all the steps beforehand to warm up. So then it is painful, or often there's like a really strong burning sensation. And then they're like, oh my God, no. And then once you not push through the pain, but like once you set it up so that it's not a painful experience, like, oh, this is pleasurable. Like, I didn't expect this. Like, this is something that I thought could never be pleasurable. And I think a lot of, especially women, have this like idea that this isn't something that can be pleasurable. So when it is, it's like, oh my God, like, what's going on? Like, why does this feel good?
No. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. I mean, there are a lot of women that are terrified of it, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, come on. But I think you don't know unless you try, right? I mean, and I'm not a woman, and so I'm not going to make that call or whatever. But I've dated people who are just, we would try it and then it would be a no-go because like panic and whatever. But then like their friends would tell them like, oh, you should like, you know, just commit to it fully once, see what's up, and then go from there. But I think there is, you're totally right. I mean, and especially for the person who's like receiving it, there is that like fear factor, that pain factor, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes that fear, like some people get so turned on with fear as well. So it can be a turn off or turn on, but for some people it can really add to it. That fear of like, oh my God, is it going to hurt this time? Are we going to get to that pleasure point? Like just all those things. For some right. people, that's such a turn on for them.
No, that's a fucking excellent point, because the fear, you know, and the lust, like coming from the same part of the brain, can like really combine. And if you ride that the right way, I mean, that's fucking awesome. But it's a really, really amazing point.
Adds with the power dynamic as well, especially if you're on the receiving end and you think of you're scared of pain or whatever, then that person who is, you know, doing the penetrating, they've got that powerful position of, I could push this in deeper, you could be in pain, or like they've kind of got some of that control, so it can add to that power dynamic.
Yeah. And you did also say like straight up, like lube, I think your exact quote was like lube, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way this is happening. And like, so like water-based lube, I mean, is there certain lubes, and it might be different because you're in Australia, but whatever, but just like in general, what kind of lube are we using for anal?
Yeah, so I mean, there's three different types of lube: water-based, silicone, and oil-based lube. For if you want like a longer lasting lube, probably go like a silicone lube. That can be really good for ass play, as long as you're not using silicone-based sex toys, because silicone breaks down silicone. But generally, the silicone will last longer, whereas the water-based kind of dries up quicker. You'll find you'll need to keep reapplying a lot more often. Some people will like oil-based not good with condoms though, because it breaks down condoms. But oil based sometimes can kind of feel more like it sticks on, but it kind of dries in a bit. So generally for like anal, I'd say it's like silicone.
Okay. Yeah. Unless you're using silicone like butt plugs or anal toys or something.
Yeah.
Which, how common are those?
I feel like for butt plugs, most of them are either like stainless steel or they are silicone. Like I'm thinking of like my collection. Like there are definitely silicone, especially if you have ones that are like vibrating, right, ones that go like any thrusting to them, they'll have they'll be normally in silicone. So therefore you'll need to use like water-based or oil-based lube for that. The other thing to be mindful of though, with the like stainless steel butt plugs, like, you know, like the really little cute ones, you got the little gem, like the little love heart or diamond or something on them. They're often what people gravitate towards and they're their first like butt plug that you buy. And I had to learn the hard way that with the little like cute stainless steel butt plugs, because the stainless steel, once you chuck lube on it, that whole thing just gets wet and it gets really like lubed up. And especially if you're engaging in penetrative sex while that butt plug is in, you're then having this like impact against it. All of a sudden you'll realize that little love heart has disappeared. And I had that happen to me. I had a partner be like, where'd the butt plug go? Did it fall out? And I was like, no, what do you mean? Like, I can feel it. And they were like, no, like it's not in there. And I was like, yes, it is. And I sat up straight away, put my hand in, and I could just feel the end of it. And because it's so lubed up and it's stainless steel, like it is so hard to grab. And I remember I got my fingers just on the edge, but it would kept like, because their ass has like a suction to it. It kept like going. And then I was laughing so hard because I was in sheer just panic mode. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. And like, yeah, I'm a sexologist and I don't have shame around it, but like, I still don't want to have to go through the process of like x-rays and people trying to pull something out of my ass. And I managed to, I had to like lie down. I was like, just breathe. And I managed to just get my fingers enough to like pull it out. But I was like, 1 second later of just completely losing this butt plug up my ass. And that was the first time using a butt plug during penetrative sex as well. So I was like mortified. But I did some research afterwards and turns out the stainless steel ones, unless they have a really big base, those little cute gem ones can just have their mind of their own and just disappear.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So you went from that to, did you then have a fear after that to like try other anal things because you lost it? And I thought you were going to say that it like with the penetrative sex that it like shot out and like hit your partner in the eye or something like that, but it went the other way. But did you have a fear then of like trying other things?
So we had a breather for 2 minutes and then I went and grabbed my bigger silicone one and put that in instead. So no, I did not have a fear after that. I literally went straight to, okay, let's grab the bigger one that has a really big base. And I know there's no possible way, like there should be no possible way that this is going to disappear.
Yeah.
The only fear since then has been maybe around anal beads often, especially if you put them all the way in, the end they'll just have like this little like elastic circly thing or like, you know, something you can hold on to. Often it is pretty easy also to go in, especially when you're like in certain positions having penetrative sex. I find that like ass can often like gape a little bit and then it'll just be like, all right, bye. So there's been a couple close calls with that. So it's probably more around that, like there's been fears around that, but also nothing that's ever going to stop me from like, you know, regularly engaging in it.
Yeah, I mean, fuck that. Don't. You're a professional. You know the benefits. How do you feel about like, because and I haven't seen this in a long time, but like years ago, I do remember I had a partner who was really nervous to try it, and she like went and bought this like anal like numbing gel for the asshole, and I feel like. you don't really see that. Is that a good practice? Is it not? Cause I remember it just numbed my penis. So like, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Just steer clear of it or try it, or is it still around?
Yeah, so it's definitely still around. I still see it at sex stores. And I would generally say steer clear of it. Like when it comes to your genitals, like you want to feel what's going on. And especially like if you're putting on a numbing gel and then you're engaging in ass play, you might tear or have things happen. And then you've got no idea because you're not in tune with your body because you've got this numbing gel on. So what I would say in response to using that would be like, warm up more, use more lube, take your time. Like, and when I say take your time, maybe that means that you start with just like a finger or like the tip of a finger 1 week. And then that's just, you know, what you do. And then the next week or the next time you go a little bit bigger, you use the whole finger. Then the next time you use a butt plug. Then the next time you use this, like actually training your body and your brain even to get comfortable with having something in there. Cause it's not a normal feeling at the start. Like stuff's coming out, not in. So actually like prolonging that, not just being like, oh, I have 20 minutes. Let's try and relax myself enough and get myself in the position to be able to do this, actually taking the time. Like some people do full like anal training regimes to be able to like get, mm-hmm. you know, certain sizes and whatever in. So, you know, let's say we're using a penis. Some of those, like, you know, they're decent sizes to go in. Like I feel like actually spreading your time of preparing over weeks so that you can get comfortable with it instead of having to go for something like a numbing gel.
Well, yeah. And because, okay, let's be real, right? The asshole has the capacity to stretch out and sort of, and not just like for the moment, but over time with practice, it'll stretch and not like remain open, but it'll become more elastic in a way. Like, can you like talk about the difference when I say stretch your ass? Cause I just sound like a podcast guy and you're the professional. So like, talk about like the elasticity of the asshole and how, you know, you might want to try that out, but it doesn't mean that you're walking around with a giant asshole that's open all the time.
No, you're relaxing your sphincter. So you're being able to get your sphincter to be able to adjust to bigger sizes. For that 5-10 minutes after you engage in the ass play, you might be feeling like your asshole is like gaping a little, but it always comes back to. So it's just something that, yeah, it just relaxes more. It gets used to having something bigger in there so that you can probably get there quicker each time you're doing it. But yeah, it generally always comes to, and also if you have like a month off or whatever, like it's going to go back to normal. Like you'll find that, let's say you have this really big butt plug you got used to, and then you don't do ass play for like a month, you'll probably struggle the next time you do it. It won't be as easy. It's kind of just like, you know, like lifting weights at your gym, like muscle memory almost. Like you start to build that. And then if obviously you stop, it goes back the other way. You obviously want to be careful that you don't, as I said earlier, you don't do damage, you go too hard too quickly, because then, yeah, you can get tears and things like that, or prolapses. Things can go wrong. That's why you got to be really careful and like build your way up to it. But when it comes to like our day-to-day ass play, it's, yeah, generally just trying to just relax them enough. And even sometimes it's just like a brain thing too, like actually getting your brain okay with the fact that you have something in your ass and to relax.
Yeah, I mean, some people love this stuff so much, right? Some people love the feeling of something in their ass so much that they're like wearing butt plugs to work and shit, or they wear them all day, right? Like that's a practice that I feel like has probably been going on since the beginning of time, but I have seen and heard and engaged in conversation about that. I mean, talk about that a little bit, like the practice of like somebody like putting in a butt plug and like just going about their day because they just are comfortable with that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So for some people, I wouldn't say it's like super common, but for some people, they just enjoy that feeling of fullness, or this is something they'll do to make sure like they are super prepared for when they get home and like, you know, fuck their partner later that night, because they're relaxed. They've sat down, especially like if you've ever sat down for butt plug, it's quite an intense feeling because all of a sudden the butt plug is like pushing into your ass. So yeah, for some people, it is just something they like to do. For some, it's like a dom sub thing where their dom's been like, I want you to put this in and you are wearing this while you go to work. And it like turns them on knowing that their partner is at work with something up their ass. For other people, maybe that's their turn on, being like, I'm in public on the train, subway, whatever. And I have this thing at my ass and nobody knows. So there can be like that turn on. And for some people, that's enough, you know, sexual satisfaction. Other times it's like a prep thing. You know, I'm wearing it all day, making sure that I'm like super relaxed, gonna, you know, and like feeling, I guess, like stretched. Yeah.
No, yeah, I just think it's fascinating, and I love to get your opinion. Like, obviously, in this episode, while I have you, and we're talking, you know, the whole episode about ass and ass play. I think we had to bring up that. And then there's even butt plugs that are just like vibrators that you insert, and your partner has control of it and can vibrate it and different things with it or whatever. So those are fun. Those are really cool. How do you feel about like the kits, right? That are just like small, medium, large butt plugs that you use. Like, is that something that is, you know, is like tangible and a good idea to use? Should people buy those kits?
Yeah, well, I think it's an easy place to start, often more affordable too. And, you know, you've got three different sizes and let's say you've got like a kit like that and you can start with the smallest one. How does it feel? And especially when I was talking about that, like building yourself up, it's a great way to, you know, start with the smallest one, then the next size, the next size. You might do that in one session, or maybe it takes you a week, or maybe it takes you a month, but just slowly building yourself up instead of just like going and buying, let's say, a bigger butt plug and having to like, you know, push it in and out and not getting there and then maybe getting distressed, like, oh, it's not going to work, this is too painful, I'm never going to get there. If you've got a range of sizes, you can play around with what feels good. And yeah, as I said, it's normally more affordable. Just make sure it's obviously like a good quality kit. Like some of them are pretty like average, but like obviously like a good quality silicon. Or if you still want to do the stainless steel, just make sure it has that big base. And yeah, just, you know, looking after your own health, because there are like obviously like sex toys out there that are made out of like less healthy, like you know, they've got materials that have like toxins in them and stuff, or that are like porous.
Yeah. That's a good thing to point out too, because I feel like we find out more and more every day about like just like fucking micro plastics and micro silicons and like all these fucking horrible things. You definitely don't want, again, let's remind them, if you use a silicon based lubricant, don't use a silicon based toy, right? So you would go more towards like the water or oil, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's what a fucking piece of knowledge though.
Yeah. And like with lube, you're not often taught about like the different types. Yeah, and like even with condoms, like don't use oil based with a condom because it's just gonna break the condom down.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, like again, incredible pieces of knowledge here on Sex Party, thanks to the expert. No thanks to me. I just asked the questions over and over again. Okay, and this is like more of an in-depth question, right? On this topic, let's say more psychological, I guess. Let's say it's a woman who wants to try anal and the dude doesn't want to. Probably kind of rare in that scenario. But okay, so let's say it's a dude that wants to try anal and the woman doesn't want to, right? Like probably more of a regular situation that you're running into day-to-day ass play, as you said, right? So what would you recommend with a brilliant sexual mind that you have and all the training that you have, like how do you engage an open conversation? I don't want to say negotiation because it makes it sound like it's going to be painful, but like what do you recommend to bring it up to a partner that you want something up your ass, you want to stick something up their ass or both, right? Like where do you start? How do you work through that?
Yeah. So often I'll see it'll be like the the male partner wants to do it and the female partner doesn't, or the female partner wants to do something to the male partner and he doesn't want to do it. That's often how it plays out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it can go any way, but that's just how it typically looks. But when it comes to like addressing that, it's really like having the conversation outside the bedroom. I always recommend like either having a glass of wine, going for a walk, doing something, whatever, and just talking about maybe like sex in general first, talking about the things you're enjoying, doing like a sexual check-in, and maybe pose it to them first of like, oh, is there anything you want to explore? Is there anything you've been thinking about? To give them the opportunity to, you know, express anything. And then you can say, oh, I'm really interested in ass play, and maybe start it with that, just keeping it like, you know, broad, and then being curious, like, you know, leaving them to be curious about, okay, like, what does that look like? Obviously, if you just want like anal, like penetrative sex, and that's what you want, you know, you can just go for it and say specifically what it is. But, you know, talking, I guess, a bit more broadly and just saying, you know, how do you feel about that? And if they're showing like, oh my God, no, you know, I don't want to do that, maybe leaving the, you know, conversation there, just saying, yeah, look, I'm really interested. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. I'll give you time to think about it. Because for a lot of people, they might just have this instant, like, fear come up, a yuck-based thing, disgust, these really strong emotions that make them just pull back and like, oh my God, no. So then coming back to the conversation later, often if there's things that we want to explore, maybe it's just like we want to actually just spice up our sex or like, you know, do something that's different. So maybe it's like saying, all right, well, I want to try this. How would you feel about this? Or is there something else that we would be able to try and explore? And I also like just recommend always trying to keep an open mind with sex and continually exploring things so that you don't necessarily get into the same routine. Cause we always do when we have a long-term partner, especially you start to learn each other. You start to have similar ways of having sex. But if you are, you know, trying something new every month or, you know, something like that, it's not going to be such a shock if they come to you with something that they want to try that's new. If you don't know how to start the conversation, using something like a yes, no, maybe list can be amazing. Cause then you can get an idea of where they're sitting with how they're feeling about it. They've also already gone and spent the time filling it out and have decided, you know, had thoughts about it already. So it's not like this complete shock, or using cards that, you know, have sexual questions in it. So it doesn't feel like as daunting, especially if you haven't talked about sex with your partner, in a while or ever come to them with a desire. So I recommend using like something like that as like an aid to, you know, help you do that.
I mean, don't you think there should be like Hallmark cards for this where it's like, you, surprise, I want to fuck you in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also when you're coming to somebody who, let's say they're the one who is a bit hesitant or doesn't want to do it, obviously if it's a hard no, it's a hard no. You need to work out, is this something that I have to have? Do I go elsewhere? Can I negotiate that with my partner? Or is this like a, I have to have this, it can't move forward with the relationship. Sometimes it is and that happens. A lot of the time it's not though. And it's just getting them more comfortable. Like, okay, let's start with maybe we watch some porn together that is not like your traditional Pornhub porn, but maybe like a paid for porn that's a more realistic ass play scene where they're showing all the, you know, maybe the prep or the slow build up and not just that, you know, all of a sudden they're doing anal. Yeah, just like more realistic porn. Or maybe it's like we start with, I'll just give you a massage and massage around the area. How does that feel? Like, how's it feeling? And then we move, as I said, through those steps, getting up to that point to build that like comfortability.
I think that's incredibly important, because I think if you don't do that, if you don't build, you know, a rapport in terms of the ass, you're going to kind of be at a loss, you know? And I think you're right. Having a conversation that's thoughtful about it, can really, really help. You mentioned porn, which is perfect, because I had someone message the sex party account, who obviously is going to remain anonymous, but they are female and she is going to have sex with two guys at the same time. Okay. And again, like, advise as you can, as you will. Her big thing is that she wants to be double penetrated. One obviously vaginal penetration and then one guy in the ass, but she's worried about the ass part of it. Any tips on how to make them both fit? Any tips on like how to go about having the most enjoyable time for her?
Yeah, so I feel like the double penetration is a fantasy that is increasing, especially for vulva owners. It is just, I don't know, I feel like I heard something the other day that like vulva owners are becoming more and more curious. They're questioning relationship dynamics, the sex we're having, everything. So we're starting to have fantasies that, you know, maybe like 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago, people wouldn't even be necessarily thinking about, and it's not as like mainstream as what it is. But to prepare for that, it's really getting comfortable. So if you're having, like if you've never had any double penetration at all, start with something like a butt plug, like getting used to the sensation of having two things in there at once. Or maybe when you're, if you have like a regular partner, you can get like dildos that attach onto their penis so you can get double penetrated. Maybe trying something like that. They can feel a little awkward though, so sometimes it's just the logistics of it aren't going to work, but that can be like a good start. They're often smaller, happening at the same time and pace them. Obviously, so much lube, starting with like maybe vaginal sex first or anal sex first, doing them separately on their own so you can, you know, enjoy it, relax, and then bringing them together. Doing a position like maybe you've got one penis owner lying down, you're like cowgirl on top of them, and then the other penis owner coming from behind. You're in control then, like you can move up and down. So I feel like that can also be a really great way to start, just so that you can move up, down, see how it's feeling, what needs to be adjusted. Do we need more lube in one area? Do we need to do more anal? Do we need to do more vaginal sex? Do we need to start with the penis in the ass first and then put in the vagina, or the other way around? Just like play around with it. It's going to be trial and error to begin with. Because obviously everybody's different and, you know, it's going to work differently for each person. So yeah, that's probably how I'd recommend starting with it. And yeah, just having fun too. Cause like, I feel like double penetration would be so much fun.
Yeah. And you know, make sure the guys get along. I think that's like, that's like, you know,
yeah, true.
Tip that the pros always give. Emily Duncan, thank you so much for being with me on Sex Party, talking about everything ass. Let's remind these ass-loving people in the audience where they can find you, where they can follow you, where they can work with you, where they can find your amazing, amazing podcast.
So you can find the podcast That's Orgasmic on all streaming services. And I also have an Instagram for it called That's Orgasmic. And then my website is www.emilyduncansexology.com, because my business is Emily Duncan Sexology. And you can also find me at the Pleasure Center if you're looking to book sessions as well. Yeah, I think that's all the places that, yeah, you can find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back again. This was your second time. Next time it'll be your third. Maybe it'll be on some sort of special. Maybe it'll be a whole other, you know, topic about, maybe we have backup questions. Who knows? But thank you so much for being on the show again.
No worries at all. Thank you for having me.
Talk soon. Huge thank you to my guest, Emily Duncan, for coming back and helping me with all this ass that we talked about in this episode. Hope you guys got some amazing, amazing knowledge out of that. There were a couple things that blew me away. If you guys are loving guests like Emily, well, first of all, make sure you go check out everything she's doing. She is doing some cutting edge stuff. Make sure you follow her, keep up with all of it. If you love guests like Emily, you want to see Emily again, and you're listening to this podcast on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, Stitcher, what can you do to show some love, some desire, some appreciation, some want for more Sex Party? You could leave a rating. You could leave a review. Those are great. But the most important thing you can do, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. New episodes of Sex Party every single Wednesday, no matter what. If you're watching on YouTube, do you think that it's possible that you could get a quarter stuck into a place that you can't get it out of. Think about it really hard. Let me know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I definitely see you. I appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to the channel. That is the most important part. You don't want to miss a new episode. You could also leave comments on all the videos. You could like all the videos. Whatever you want to do, just make sure you subscribe. As always, you can catch me in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.